Yes, indeed. Welcome into our Wednesday, October 16th edition of Sports Talk. Just a day away from Thursday night football. Actually, almost exactly 24 hours away from kickoff in the Caesars Superdome. You'll be hearing Mike Hawes, Deuce McAllister with the call as the Broncos and Saints collide on a short week for this black and gold squad that is so banged up right now. Went through the injury report last segment, and the big one that we really didn't get into was the wide receiver Rashid Shaheed dealing with that knee issue, and will need surgery on it, but it's not quite clear yet just how serious the surgery is.
Yeah, and surgery's happening tomorrow, correct? So we'll have some information. I don't know if we'll have – I'm assuming we'll have something tomorrow. Maybe we'll have it even during first take, because, I mean, the news broke earlier today at, like, 2, maybe 1, and we'll have first take tomorrow at 3.
Yeah, hopefully we'll get it between first take and the Bud Light countdown, the kickoff. We'll definitely be getting that to you for the word on Shaheed.
Yep.
If it's going to be a minor procedure that'll get him back sometime during the season, or unfortunately the major one that they're saying would cost him the rest of the 2024 season. And we definitely don't hope it's that.
Even if it's minor, he could end up on IR. He could miss a couple weeks. We're in week 7, right? Yeah, we'd be going. I mean, he could be back, you know, 1st of December. That's like after the bye week. So regardless, it looks like he's going to miss some time.
I laugh too when always people talk about, oh, it's minor surgery. The saying is it's minor if you're not having it.
It's surgery. It's surgery. At the end of the day, especially in the NFL, like it's surgery. To me, my philosophy has always been I hear the word surgery and I just instinctively. You know, I'm a warrior. I assume the worst. So it's like I hear surgery, and I'm just going to go ahead and say, all right, this guy's going to go on IR. Now, the difference is, will he be on IR for 4 games or 14 games? Will he get off in December? Will he get off, you know, in March of next year? We don't know. We're not going to know until tomorrow. We'll have a bit more information. You can obviously, you know, stay you know, locked in here on Twitter and keep up with us. We'll hopefully have something. I do want to ask you, with all the injuries we've been having, what can the Saints do tomorrow to kind of meet the bar for expectations that you're setting? To me, it's I want to see some more improvement from Rattler. I want to see some more consistency. I know that they kind of figured him out in the second half, and that felt kind of bad. But yeah. I really, really liked what I saw in the first half, and that will also extend to some of the wide receivers we're having, like specifically Tipton and Means, and I do want to see the tight ends involved a bit more, and they were, but I, you know, again, with your wide receiver 1 and your wide receiver 2 out, I mean, I texted you earlier, and I was like, you know, Foster Moreau, Juwan Johnson, legacy game incoming. Fingers crossed, I hope. But what is going to be, we lose, but we did X, Y, and Z, it's still progress has been made.
Tomorrow I need to see this run game show me something. Oh, and I know Alvin Kamara is obviously your big key to that cog right there, but obviously no Taysom Hill.
Kendra's back though, right?
Kendra Miller is definitely kind of that 100%. X factor for me. How many touches can you get him in his first game back in action? I'm hoping anywhere between like 5 and 7 touches I think is a win, just so Kendra can add something to this offense.
And it's like, honestly, every win Wednesday, we get in here and we talk about Jamal Williams, and we just don't see anything. And it's like I'm beginning to think the team has forgot he's existed. He's there.
He gets 2 touches a game.
He's used in punt returns and kick returns, which is again another issue we're gonna have to talk about. Mike mentioned earlier, hell, before the show even started, I asked him. I was like, you know, Shaheed's a big loss offensively, but he's the kick returner. He's the punt returner. He returned one for a touchdown last week. How are we gonna replicate that? What are we gonna do? He said Tipton maybe might do that. He's got a little bit more speed. He won't be Shaheed. No one's Shaheed. But
I'm curious if they might bring up a guy like a Jermaine Jackson from the practice squad to maybe help with the return game, but I have no idea what they end up doing there. Like you said, Shaheed is an all-pro level with the return ability, but you know, bringing whoever else in is a step back. The kick return, you're not worried about so much.
No,
man, that,
a lot
that
of touchbacks.
Punt return could be a nightmare.
Be prepared for a lot of fair catches, maybe. You just might be.
Even then, obviously, securing that football, you always worry.
I mean, we had the muffed by Shaheed, if even the all-pro can do it, anybody can do it, but he's the all-pro for a reason because he doesn't do it often. Like, I told my dad when we were watching the game, I was like, that's very rare. That's 1 in a million. Hopefully, we never even see that in Shaheed's career for the rest of his career as a punt returner. But, again, I'm going in with the, you know, I do want to see some progress made with the running game. And Kendra Miller coming back should hopefully open that up. Because so far, I mean, our run game, has anybody even taken any snaps apart from Williams and Kamara with Hill's absence?
Jordan Mims got one carry last week.
One.
And he got a couple, I think four or five in the Carolina game one.
But even then, you need to divvy it up a bit more. Like, Kamara is explosive. You can't just keep pressing. It's not like Madden and you just keep spamming the X button and clicking go routes over and over and over again.
Well, players in Madden, if you use them too much, they get tired and, you know, they end up hurt.
Oh, man, I wonder what that's based off of.
Right, Alvin Kamara, man, he has been through it all already this season, it feels like. And obviously he has been that go-to offensive weapon for you, which he should be and is, but the fact is, you know, you need to give the guy a little bit of relief there, and hopefully, you know, Miller could be that guy, just because you mentioned it. Sadly, Jamal Williams has not been a big factor in this run game for whatever reason this year, and I thought he was looking a lot healthier going into this season.
Same, and I look at all the teams that have, me and Charlie talk at length about how, like, the Saints just haven't really prioritized the tight end position as much. He's a big, like, you know, stand on his soapbox and shout from the rooftops that tight ends are...
Oh, yeah, 2 years ago, he was so mad that the Saints didn't pick anybody in the draft, any tight end, I'll say.
Losing his mind. And one thing we talk about recently is the fact that, like, you know, a lot of really good teams are having two premier backs. You look at arguably the best team in the NFC right now in the Detroit Lions. They've got Montgomery. They've got Gibbs. And it's like, we have Kamara, yes, but who is going to be his sidekick? Who's going to be the one? Who's going to be the two in the 1-2 punch in this running game? And Williams has been very silent these last couple of weeks. And I don't know if it's him. I don't know if it's the game plan or what. Last week, the game plan in the second half kind of fell kaput. They kind of, like, figured us out, but
Right. Everything
wasn't going our way after halftime.
No, definitely need the run game back in action in a big way. Obviously, things were so great the first 2 weeks. Nothing was going wrong, and so it's easy to pick apart things right now. And then the receiving core, though, such a huge question. Obviously, you mentioned, you know, Mason Tipton, a guy like Bub Means. Who else is going to be in that mix with no Chris Olave and Rashid Shaheed? You have Cedric Wilson Jr. Do you end up calling a guy up like an Equanimeous St. Brown? Just a lot of questions to who are going to be the pass catchers for Spencer Rattler in just this second start. You mentioned, too, obviously, the tight ends there.
They had a connection last week.
Yeah, hopefully they can be utilized even more this week around because, yeah, you don't really have any reliable pass catchers that you know of at the moment. Sure, there's guys that you can bring up and hopefully they can, you know, step up in the moment, but, you know, I just have concerns about that right now. But at least you can look at it as Spencer Rattler was kind of mostly working with these guys, being the third string quarterback on this team, or second and third string, I'll say, because him and Jay Kaner were splitting those reps.
I was satisfied with how we did in the first half. Second half, nobody did well, so I'm not going to put it all on him. He played like a rookie would.
Yeah, sure.
So, I just, you know, progress. That's the name of the game. It's like, if we're not going to come out with a win, you just want to see progress.
Definitely want to take him taking a step forward. We also want to see the Saints getting pressure on the rookie on the other side, Bo Nix. Head coach Sean Payton will talk about him and some of the rest of the matchup with the Saints when we get back right after this on WWL, so stay tuned. Back here on our Wednesday edition of Sports Talk, and it is game day eve because we got Thursday night football tonight. I know everybody out there, when this schedule came out, circled this one. Obviously, Sean Payton and Denver Broncos coming to town. Sean spent 15 years in New Orleans. His record here was 152 wins, 89 losses. Now two seasons so far with Denver. Has played 23 games with them. Has coached 23 games with them. And has 11 wins, 12 losses. So we don't want Sean getting to 500 in the Caesars Superdome. Saints needing to snap a four-game losing skid, too. It's been brutal. Sean Payton talked to the media the other day in Denver. And here's what Sean had to say about this matchup on Thursday Night Football against his old team.
During the pre-draft process, how much did you guys look into Spencer Rattler and just what your
We spent a lot of time with him. I'd say there was five, pro day, and then we had a private workout. We were all in Phoenix, Scottsdale area where he's from. Steak dinner, the whole nine yards, test in the morning, throw. He did really well. There's a calmness when he plays, you know, and he too has been through the adversity early on, you know, coming out of high school to Oklahoma and then transferring. But there is a confidence when he's on the field. And you see that in preseason and last week. It's not too big for him. And he's got a live arm. We were really impressed. And look, not that it matters, but we had him graded higher, and I'm sure the Saints did as well, and it got to a point where you just had to take the grade, but he was impressive.
Yeah, I've talked to people in New Orleans a few times. I've been back there. There's a little bit of an us against the world, and it seemed like you embraced that when you were the coach. What is it you enjoyed about coaching there?
I think what happened, none of us planned. I don't know that we anticipated where we were going at the time we were going. We were going post-Katrina. You know, in other words, I was with Dallas. I'd interviewed in Green Bay, and I was on the New Orleans interview waiting to hear from the late Ted Thompson. And Mickey Loomis, I'd met for the first time, seemed to like him. But, you know, have you ever been on one of those interviews where you're kind of looking around thinking, man, this is his problem. It's not going to be mine. And that evening, I went back to the hotel to take a break before dinner, and I got a voice message that I hadn't gotten that job. And I remember throwing my phone into the pillow and just like, holy cow. And where I'm going with it is, you know, Drew came. I remember us recruiting him, thinking he's going to Miami. And then obviously you take a player like Reggie Bush, who's going to get drafted by the Texans. And so fate would have it, there were a number of us that ended up there. And all right, and so we're starting a rebuild. But I think none of us could ever understand the impact relative to, it was bigger than football. And that we weren't prepared for. I don't think any of us were. And then those, you know, that first year, I don't know, in preseason, I don't know if we won a game. At one point I remember thinking, you know, I don't know if we're going to win a game this year. And then we won a close one at Cleveland to start the year. We still hadn't played at home. They were still fixing the Superdome. We went on the road and fell down to Green Bay, if my memory's right, 13 points. We came back and won that game. And then so right off the top, you know, we had some close games and then beat Atlanta. You know, that was the Monday night game. And so I've said this before, it wasn't our best team, but it was one of our tougher teams. And we ended up in the NFC Championship game in that first year. But it was more than that. It was just the recovery. We would fly home from regular season games. There'd be 1,000 people at the airport. Just like none of us could have ever envisioned that. So there was a different uniqueness to it. And I think a lot of it, they've always been passionate, but I think a lot of it had to do with the year prior and how difficult it was. And so pretty soon, I remember we had to, look, you have to beat your division. And Gruden was at Tampa and they'd won a Super Bowl. Foxy, those are two good friends of mine. Look, two closest, I'd worked with John for 4 years at the Giants. We were both coordinators there, went to a Super Bowl. And John Fox, and then Gruden, you know, hired me. I was his assistant in Philly. And these are two good coaches in our division. But meanwhile, I think that uniqueness, timing-wise, and then they hadn't had a lot of success. And then, anyway, so that was different. And I think, and I'm not, like, when I say there's over 100 people that share that same experience, that was like, wow. We weren't prepared for that.
Sean Payton of the Broncos talking about how, you know, his time in New Orleans went, and obviously that faithful hiring, Mickey Loomis bringing Sean in. He was up for the other job in Green Bay. He mentioned getting the news that he was not being considered anymore, throwing his cell phone into the pillow in the hotel room and just waiting to hear back then from the Saints. Hard to imagine about what this organization now would be without a guy like Sean Payton around, because obviously I wasn't around here in the early days of this Saints franchise. And I know a lot of folks know them as a team that they couldn't even stay on TV because of the blackout rules, not selling enough tickets to the Superdome, or, you know, fans going to the games with bags on their heads. I didn't understand that as a kid in New Jersey. I remember asking my dad about it. But now you look at the way that this franchise is looked upon now, and nobody's thinking about the back in the days of fans with bags on their head. It's more of the Sean Payton, Drew Brees experience and what they brought to New Orleans and the NFL, and honestly, a community that was in dire need of any kind of hope after that, you know, devastating hurricane.
Yeah.
It seemed to all kind of just meld together for this. I don't want to say a perfect storm, obviously, because I mentioned Katrina there, but
yeah,
just this whole perfect scenario with the rebuilding of a city, the rebuilding of a franchise, and it culminated, obviously, with the 2009 Super Bowl. Unfortunately, just the one, but shoot, we'll take it. Some franchises don't even have that one.
No, I mean, there's – I really, really like what Drew said earlier when we spoke to him. And he was just like, look, you know, at the end of the day
– cheers, Sean. Remember what he did.
And the second that coin is flipped and it's like, you know, we're going to ball, they're going to ball.
Right.
He's the enemy. And it's like after the game, you can, you know, relish in a win. You can
– that seems like a logical way to do things.
Which is like, you know, you understand. it's like a bad breakup, and that's a good way to put it. But come on, like, he was with us for, what did you say, 15 years again?
Right.
Like, you can't write that off. Regardless of if the last couple of years weren't what you wanted, regardless if the first couple of years weren't what you wanted, that you had at least one good season. There's always talk about teams that are like pushing their chips all in, and like how many things are you going to push back at a later date? How many you know, bets are you going to make on yourself before it becomes untenable and the future isn't sustainable? All that does not matter. If you win a ring, everything is okay. If you win a ring, it doesn't matter what you did to get there. And it's like, we want to ring with Sean. We want to ring with Breeze. So it's like, again, like Drew said it best, you know, before the game, treat him like an old pal. You haven't seen him in a while.
Sure.
Second the game starts, be like, you know, good time, buddy, but we're here to beat you.
Right. Now we're here to boo you. You don't boo him in the beginning.
No.
Looking forward to the matchup. We're going to talk about some Broncos action when we return after the break. Mike Kliss, Broncos reporter for 9 News in Denver, will join us as we break down the 3-3 Denver Broncos led by Sean Payton coming in for Thursday Night Football. You can hear that kickoff right here on WWL Saints Radio, 7:15 tomorrow night. We'll be back with more sports talk right after this, so stay tuned on WWL. Welcome back into Sports Talk. Steve Geller along with Cullen Steele bringing it till 8 p.m. this evening, getting ready for Thursday Night Football tomorrow, folks. I'm so excited to see Sean Payton back in town with those Denver Broncos taking on the Saints in the Caesars Superdome. Happy to welcome in now Mike Kliss, Broncos reporter for 9 News in Denver, joining us now. Mike, how you doing, man? Appreciate the time.
Yeah, you got it. I'm here in New Orleans trying to eat some Cajun food as we speak, and it's great to be here.
Appreciate it, and love the fact that you're enjoying some of the local cuisine right now. Looking at this matchup, obviously two teams that have been, well, the Saints didn't struggle early on offense, but the last couple weeks they have. But this Denver Broncos squad, obviously, their calling card right now has been the defense. And just talk about that development there and how dominant they've been able to be, and how much of a hit is it not having a supreme talent like Patrick Surtain not around this week?
Yeah, on defense, if you remember, week 3 of last year, they got beat 70-20.
Right.
It had been a while since a team had allowed 70 points. Offense contributed 2 touchdowns to that, by the way, but still a remarkable turnaround by Vance Joseph, the defensive coordinator. And also they changed up quite a bit of personnel since that game. Most notably up front, their defensive line is very good. Zach Allen's having a great year. Should be all pro if he had a little more recognition. DJ Jones in the middle is very good. They picked up John Franklin Myers from the Jets, who's very good. Those three, and Malcolm Roach, who you guys know well.
Oh yeah,
is playing very well as the fourth guy. It's a 3-4. Yeah, it's a 3-4, but he's the first guy in, and he plays just about as much as the other three starters, and so they're very good there, adding Franklin Myers and Roach. Their safeties, they had Justin Simmons, who is a real good ball player, and Kareem Jackson, who was getting up there in age. Now they have P.J. Locke and Brandon Jones, who they picked up from Miami, and they have a lot more range than the predecessors did. So that's why they're better on defense. And Surtain left in the first play. He got a concussion on the very first play last week and was knocked out and wasn't enough time to clear the protocol for Thursday night. And that is a loss. They gave up quite a few third and longs in against the Chargers, and third and eight, third and nine. Herbert picked up quite a few of those with his arm, and so that's definitely a factor. It's going to be challenged. I think the defense is going to be challenged by the Saints' offense. That's been pretty good, right? I watched the game a little bit here and there Sunday, and the Saints can't tackle, it doesn't look like. And
no, that was a problem on defense for sure.
Yeah. And so it'll be interesting because it's the Broncos' strength is defense. Your strength is offense. The Broncos' weakness has been offense, and your weakness has been defense. So could be a decent game tomorrow.
Yeah, you're looking at the offense for this Denver Broncos squad. Obviously, the rookie under center, and surprisingly, I thought he takes some time to get into the flow of things. But Sean Payton throwing him right out there to start the year. What's been your impressions early on of Bo Nix?
Yeah, Sean Payton really likes him and speaks in glowing terms about him at every turn. So my impressions of Bo Nix is he's good. He's not great. He doesn't have a great, I could see why he was a sixth quarterback taken as far as arm. He's a much better scrambler, and he's faster and a better runner than I thought. And he's been doing that quite a bit. Scrambling has been one of his strong suits. And then he's pretty good in the 2 minute and the hurry up, believe it or not. He hasn't been so good in the conventional huddle up NFL pace offense. So I wouldn't be surprised if the Broncos do a little more up-tempo earlier in the game, because that seems to be where he's most comfortable. And when you think about it, that's what he did at Oregon for 2 years. So there might be a little switch there, because the Broncos have not been good in the first half. They've been pretty good in the second half. And when they get behind, Bo Nix, he battles and comes up with some of his best play, it seems like, when all seems lost. But they got to get it to where they don't reach the point of, all seems lost.
Mike, how much is the talk locally of just the wide receiving core? Because other than Cortland Sutton, it seems very underwhelming.
Yeah, Cortland is he's a real good receiver, terrific in the red zone. He makes outstanding catches in the end zone. But he doesn't take the top off, And the guys they have that can take the top off, they are a little slow to develop. They got a couple of rookies. Devon Vele, a seventh rounder from Utah, is quite good. He's played in two games and he has 12 catches. So he's been a nice find, a nice surprise. Troy Franklin, they moved up in the fourth round to get. He was Bo Nix's receiver mate at Oregon. And he's only 21 years old, but he's just now starting to come on. He caught a touchdown pass this past Sunday. That was his first career touchdown. So, he's just now coming. And then little Jordan Humphrey really has been the number two receiver, along with Josh Reynolds. Reynolds out with fractured finger. So, it's the skill. One thing about that you kind of say for Bo Nix, that the whole skill position package that the Broncos have, that's running back, tight end, and receiver, is below average. And so that's, I think Bo Nix would be a little better right now if, he had Caleb Williams receivers, for instance, in Chicago.
Oh, for sure. And you look at the tight ends for the Denver Broncos. We're quite familiar with, obviously, Adam Trautman and Lucas Kroll, but both have been not really done much this season.
Well, Adam Trautman has kind of developed into the blocker.
Okay.
And, and catches here and there. But, yeah, he's out there a lot, and they max protect a lot with, two tight ends. They help their tackles. And, you know, they want to protect Bo Nix as much as possible. And so Troutman is out there quite a bit, but he mostly blocks. He can catch, and he's made a catch or two here and that have been effective for first downs, but they you're right, they don't use them. Lucas Kroll, they didn't play the first four games of the season. They're hoping to get Greg Dulcich going. Dulcich was slow, so Kroll has played the last two games, and he's had a few catches. And I wouldn't be surprised if Kroll does a little bit more in this game also. Yeah, overall in tight end, should the Broncos, you know, get in position here at the trade deadline where they're 5-4, say, you know, they got three games till the trade deadline. And if they wind up 5-4, I think they might look at a veteran tight end who can help them a little more in the passing game.
Looking now, too, sticking with that offense, the rushing attack, is there anybody we need to be worried about here? Because the Saints' defense the last couple of games has just been getting gashed on the ground.
Yeah, that's interesting. Javonte Williams had a couple good games. He was off to a slow start. You know, he came back from an ACL injury last year and really wore down at the end of the year and didn't have a good camp, didn't have a good preseason. But started coming on, you know, in wins against the Jets and the Raiders. Didn't have it this last game against the Chargers. That will be interesting. Jaleel McLaughlin, he's quick, he's fast, he might be good on the turf. And then they just got Audric Estime back, the rookie from Notre Dame, and he's only had a couple carries. But, you know, he's had 12 yards. You know, he's had two 12-yard runs out of his four carries. So I wonder if they'll start using him a little bit more. But they have not run the ball as well as Sean Payton would like.
Yeah, speaking about Sean Payton, what has year two been like for him there? And how are fans, I guess, accepting what he's been able to do with the franchise so far? Obviously, last year being rough, has there been a lot more expected from him in year two?
Yeah, although it's been kind of – the whole Russell Wilson thing was strange.
Right.
You know, I mean, Sean didn't like Russell Wilson as his quarterback. He took too many sacks. It just drove Sean nuts. And so he made the move, but it was an expensive, very expensive move. Not only did they have to eat $38 million of his $39 million salary, but they took on all kinds of dead cap space.
Right.
And, you know, they're number one in dead cap in the NFL, the Broncos are. So that's kind of hurt the overall roster talent, I think. And it shows every now and then that their lack of talent. But one thing, Sean, that, you know, and I've covered the team for quite a while, they're very tough. They're tougher than the Bronco teams have been in the past. They're mentally tough. There's been some gripes about his play calling, of course. It seems to be more concerned. You know, I know he had a top five, top ten offense every year with the Saints.
Right.
We haven't seen that yet here in Denver with the Broncos. And I think, you know, that's because of he's done a lot of max protection. So he hasn't really opened it up the way he would like to, I think. And, you know, the other thing, it's a different deal for him. When he got the job in New Orleans, the Saints, you know, I looked this up, in the 39 years before he got there, they had one playoff win. Well, he comes to Denver, and they've been to 8 Super Bowls. And won 3 of them. So, you know, he was the toast of the he was the first to have big success with New Orleans and Denver. They've already had big success. So, you know, I don't think Denver fans have quite warmed up to him. He still has to earn his stripes, put it that way.
Gotcha.
In Denver, but he's done some good things. He's got this team playing together. That's one thing I've noticed about him. They're all pulling on the same rope.
Right.
And so I, you know, they're kind of a gritty overachieving team that's going to be in every game, just not sure they have the talent, you know, to win their how many that ends up at the end. Probably, you know, 8-9, 9-8, 7-10, you know, somewhere in there.
Mike, definitely appreciate your time today and hope you enjoy all the food here. Get some char-grilled oysters if you like that.
Yeah, I've ordered them. We're at Drago's. We've had trouble with service.
You're at the right spot then.
Yeah, I got you. All right, bud.
Appreciate you. See you in the Dome tomorrow, Mike.
You got it.
Mike Kliss, Broncos reporter for 9 News in Denver. Yes, indeed. I could go for some char-grilled oysters myself right now.
I'm ready for the pizza that's coming tomorrow after magazine.
There you go. So we're breaking down this matchup. Thursday night football, folks. Prime time. Sean Payton back in the Superdome. It's going to be a heck of an evening. Obviously, Drew Brees will be inducted into the team's Hall of Fame. And right now, this team looking to snap a 4-game skid in desperation mode for sure, and don't want to go down to Papa Sean in this matchup. And tomorrow night, we're going to close things out right after this, so stay tuned right here on WWL Sports Talk. Be back after the break. Back here on Sports Talk, it is Thursday Night Football Eve, everybody, getting ready for Saints versus those Denver Broncos. Sean Payton coming back to New Orleans. All the good feelings and anxious energy will be permeating throughout the Superdome tomorrow. I'm looking forward to this one.
I'm feeling, a sigh of relief coming from the team after this week. Personally, I am. I would.
I'm hoping that you're thinking that because of a victory.
Victory, but also again, what I said earlier, hardest part of the schedule's over. It gets a little easier. You play, you know, the likes of like the Chargers and then the Panthers and then I think like the Falcons, I want to say, and then Browns and then a bye week, I want to say.
Yeah, you got it. At Chargers, at Panthers, home for the Falcons, home for the Browns, and then off week 12 for the bye.
Yeah, so like it gets a little easier schedule so far. I mean, the Chargers, that's up in the air. The Browns could be a W. The Panthers should be a W. Like, if there's ever a time to right the ship, it's now.
I haven't gotten to see, honestly, a lick of Chargers football this season, and I'm curious, what's the deal with Justin Herbert? I know he's been dealing with a little bit
they're
of a lingering
okay
foot issue, right?
They're looking okay, but they're not dominant.
And they have no receivers over there.
Ironically enough, I think they're starting to get them. Like, Quentin Johnson was looking terrible last year.
Starting to pick it up.
It was like Kadarius Toney in the Detroit KC game last year, where like if you threw him a ball with glue on his hands, he'd still find a way to drop it. And it's like he could drop everything, but for some reason the team, it's that Harbaugh effect. They've kind of right the ship a little bit. I do think it's going to be a somewhat easier game than, you know, the likes of some of the other opponents we've had in the first 6 weeks. Mainly because, sure, the Chargers have looked better, but you got to remember this is a team that, like, apart from Bosa and, you know, Herbert and maybe J.K. Dobbins, who was looking fantastic the first, like, 5 weeks of the year, they've been kind of middle of the pack. I think they're, like, 3-3 right now.
3-2.
3-2. Even the wins they're getting are, like, a couple points here, a couple points. They're not beating anybody out. We could lose to them. Anybody could lose to them.
They got Arizona this week. I don't know if they're home or away.
That's
not an easy game for sure.
Would you favor them?
It depends on, I guess, where it is. If it's in Arizona, I don't think so. If you're at home, for sure.
I would not favor them. Let me look.
Yeah, you mentioned that rushing attack. That was another question for me going into the season for the Chargers. Dobbins, you know, Gus Edwards, not the biggest of names, obviously, for a John Harbaugh offense.
No, but it's Harbaugh. He's done damn good things everywhere else, so don't count the Chargers out.
Sean Payton, though, tomorrow, and Bo Nix and the Denver Broncos. They're 3-3, Saints 2-4. Let's get back in the win column tomorrow. I'll be talking to you on First Take. That'll kick off 3 p.m. right here on WWL, folks. Laters.